said, I've been thinking a lot about what's the mark of a Christian, meaning, I mean, not that there's just one, there's a million of them, but, you know, what really sets us apart, you know, as we think about evangelism and we think about our lives, and I've been thinking a lot about this thing where our lives should really provoke people who don't know the Lord to jealousy. So I'm thinking through and I'm wondering, what are people really seeing and what should they be seeing in my life that they stop and they look and they're like, why does Levi have this and I don't? I mean, we have so much that an unbeliever doesn't have. We have, you know, we've been given faith and we've been given peace and righteousness and joy, and we've just been given so much. And so I was thinking through these things, and I was thinking, you know, is it just my morals, you know? Is it just my morals that people are seeing, that they should be seeing? And you know, that's hard to say because we all struggle so much with that. We all have such deep struggles with sin. Is it our steadiness? And, you know, that's hard to say also. I mean, I still get so frustrated just if the tiniest little thing happens at work, let alone huge, big things. Is it our love for one another? It should be, you know, there's a lot there. But, you know, we have room for improvement in all these areas. And part of being a teacher, it's just I get to go during my week when I'm preparing this lesson, and I get to ask the Lord, and just it's almost like a search, you know, like, God, what are you putting on my heart to share with these people that you're wanting to pinpoint this week? You know, what are you excited about in working in the people as a whole this week? And so, and you know, it's kind of fun. You kind of get to, you know, put out this word that kind of steers the ship a little bit, that we could all work on something together, you know, and I get to see most of you guys during the week anyway, and you guys can keep me accountable and say, Levi, you just preached this last week, and you're not doing it. So it's kind of a cool deal, and as I was searching last few weeks, you know, I knew this was coming up. What am I going to talk about? And I've had just one thing put in my heart, and it's just the word joy. And it's been in my heart for several weeks. And a lot of it's got to be personal because, I mean, I'm just not this huge, joy-filled, you know, outward, you know, showing joy person, for one. I tend to be grumpy. And also, I know that the Lord's putting on the heart for several people. I've just been so aware of just the lack of joy and just falling short of that call. And so, so I don't know what I'm saying as far as, you know, is it our supreme call? Probably not. But is it one of the most essential calls that we have to be joyful, to be happy, and to show joy and to show happiness? I really think it is, especially after, that was my whole search as I was getting this lesson ready. This will be a two-part deal. But yeah, that's been my search this past week. My question was, is joy an essential part of my Christian walk? You know, is it one of the top, you know, three or four or five things that we're called to do? And I'm really convinced it is. And part of the reason why, I mean, just for a couple scriptures, I know Romans says that the kingdom of God is a matter not of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, right? The kingdom of God is a matter of joy in the Holy Spirit. It's one of the three things that defines what the kingdom of God is. Isn't our primary call and trial to be not just perfectly, you know, reactive, and it's not just to be just perfectly steady, but it's really the one call we see in trials to be joy, take joy. You know, what's James 1? Count all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, and you see a couple of verses like that. That's the call in your trial season, joy. It's the call when you're trying to show the kingdom. It's joy. So joy is something that the Lord gave us in his great design, you know, where I really think it's such a dividing thing. It's something that only the Christian can truly find, even though everyone in the world's looking for it. Everyone's looking for joy. And I'll show you that here in a minute. And just to keep this going, I mean, I really want to be sure if I'm going to make a claim like that about how essential joy is. I just had to check it in Scripture. And so I just was praying. That's how I did this. I'm just praying. I'm thinking, like, is this really true? God, show me people in the Bible who did this. The Old Testament, I don't picture Old Testament guys just being huge joy-filled people. I picture him being serious, you know. I picture him being like just suffering, serious, but making it. Maybe you guys don't picture him like that. I know David was probably a joy-filled guy. It's all over in the Psalms. But Abraham, Moses, these Old Testament guys, what'd they say about joy? And so I looked, and actually it's all over the place. I couldn't believe how much it's in Scripture. It says, Abraham took great joy when he, this is in John 8, when he looked to Jesus' coming. And it says that he saw Jesus' coming, and he was glad. He was filled with joy. Moses, multiple times in Deuteronomy, gives a command about how important it is to be joy-filled in the Lord. Multiple times in Deuteronomy. I can't believe that. Like I said, David, multiple times, it's all over in the Psalms, just this call and David's testimony of how the Lord was giving him joy. The disciples, it said they rejoiced at seeing the Lord. It said they rejoiced about being on mission. It said that they rejoiced about God counting them worthy to suffer. And Paul, he gives multiple commands, not just I am joyful. He gives strict commands to take joy in multiple situations. And Jesus, who I just picture being most serious of all for whatever reason, says in Luke 10, it says that he was just full of joy through the Holy Spirit. I just think that was constant. He was full of joy through the Holy Spirit. And so that's just kind of a new deal to me for whatever, to start picturing Jesus being so joy-filled, you know, and not just frustrated with people, not just upset, not just pointing out what they're doing wrong. He was just joy-filled because he had a relationship with his Father. And so my conclusion, I wrote three conclusions here for my study, is that that joy was designed by God to be just like a staple evidence in all of our lives, because although everyone is looking for it, only a Christian can truly find it. Joy should separate you from the world, and it should provoke the world to jealousy. Everyone wants what you have been given when God gives you joy. Second thing, joy is a command. It isn't something that we're just told to wait around until joy hits us. It says that joy is actually something that you're commanded to do, and you're commanded to go and take it. And since it's a command, lastly, it means it has to be fought for. You're in a war where someone's constantly trying to take your joy, and and you have this call to go and take it back. So it's an imperative in your life. It's a command that you actually do, just like it, you know, just like it's just a commandment, and you have to fight for it. It's not just going to come upon you and happen. So my lesson today is completely about this call to contend for joy. And I think today's going to be, I'm trying to divide this into 2 weeks. Today's going to be more about maybe why that is and what that looks like. And then next week is probably, if you come back, is going to be more of a, how do I do that? How do I find joy in God? How, you know, practically, what do I, when I'm not feeling joyful, how do I make myself be joyful? Just questions like that. So come back next week for that. And so I just started writing this out, and like I said, I can be so grumpy, and anyone who works with me knows it. Sean knows it. Andy knows it. I mean, especially mornings. I mean. And so I get it. I'm not talking down on anybody. I'm the worst at this. But have you ever noticed how being around a grumpy person just sucks the life out of you? I mean, everything in you doesn't want to be around that person. And there's a good reason for that. It's because that's not what you're made for. There's not a single person in this room that was made to dwell in a lack of joy, you know? And when someone's just pushing out a lack of joy, I mean, you just, nobody is made to want that. So every pursuit, every single pursuit, you guys can challenge me on this. I can't think of one, but every pursuit in life is based around what we think will give us joy. You guys agree with that? Can you think of a single pursuit that someone went after that they didn't think would give them joy in some way? I mean, whether it's money or pornography or marriage or children or work, you know, or your vacation. I mean, every single pursuit, good, bad, and ugly, is based around what you and your mind think is going to give me joy. I really believe that. in everything you do, it is about finding joy, and your soul is filled with such a lack that you're really always on search for it. You know, you're always searching for joy, and that's really how you were designed is the thing. You're designed to look for joy in that way. But taking joy, it really is a command. It tells us where to find it. That's what us as believers get that other people don't have. In Philippians, the verse I had you turn to, Philippians, I think it's 4:7. You guys probably know it better than me. Is it Philippians 4:7? Philippians 4:7 says, and the it's not the one I'm looking for. Maybe it's 3:7 or 4:17 maybe. This is one of those times where I should have just looked it up instead of going off my head. But what's it say? It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Is that what I'm looking for? Huh? Verse 4, thank you. Philippians 4:4. Okay, did I quote it right? Sorry, shut my Bible. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And so, the word rejoice, I had to think through and... because I didn't pay attention in school. I had to look up what that really means. And rejoice, the definition is to feel or show great joy or delight or pleasure or happiness or exultation. Okay? That's what rejoice means. To feel or to show great joy, delight, pleasure, happiness, or exultation. So the Bible commands you. It's a command in Philippians 4:4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The Bible is commanding you to feel and to show happiness. Okay? It's telling you to do it. You got to get that point in your mind because we think, here's the thing about when I talk about stuff like this, about joy and several other emotions. Isn't joy an emotion? It is. It's an emotion. And so, how in the world can I sit up here and tell you that Paul is telling you that to have an emotion? Because emotions aren't something that we can necessarily control so easy. I mean, you can control your mind a little bit, and you can control your bodily actions, obviously, but your emotions, what they really are a response, aren't they? Your emotions are a response to something else. And so, when the Bible tells you... how I worded this when I wrote it out. When the Bible tells you to feel joy consistently and to take it as a call upon yourself to be feeling joy, I'll agree completely with anyone who says that it's just a reaction to something going on. It's a reaction to, you get a truth. It's a reaction to something happy happening to you. It's a reaction that comes upon you. I think my pack's dying. If I start sounding funny. But it is a reaction. But when the Bible commands you, take joy, be joyful always, what it's saying is, I think, you know how to tap into what causes that reaction. And so it's telling you to go searching for joy and to search for it in the right place. So does that make sense? Even though you can't just in yourself stir up some emotion and just make yourself be happy just because God's telling me to, you can't just make a false happiness. You can go and say, I can't make myself be happy, but I can go to this place where I know joy and happiness is, and I know what will cause and stir happiness in me. And so my call, when he says to be joyful, is a command for you to go to this place and take joy and to tap into the right thing that will cause joy in you. See, joy is a fruit of the Spirit, love. Joy is the second one. Peace, patience, kindness, that whole list. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And what that means is, since it's a fruit, it's something that when you tap into the Spirit, it's a fruit that's produced out of you, right? So the Spirit comes, he works in you, and he produces something outwardly. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. But you got to understand how the Spirit works. Is he doesn't just give you joy just because. What he does is he gives you true joy as a reaction as he reveals Christ. I want to make sure I worded that right. So the Holy Spirit, what he does, he wants to produce fruit in you, but he doesn't just want to produce fruit for no reason. What he wants you to do is tap into finding joy in Christ. And so the Holy Spirit comes in each one of your individual lives, and he reveals Jesus to you in whatever way. He opens your heart. He opens your eyes. He gives you thankfulness. He shows you what God's been doing in your life. He lets you remember when God worked in you. He gives you hope for what God's going to do. But the Holy Spirit comes, and he reveals Jesus to you. And as your eyes are opened, and you see Jesus, the true source of joy flows through you, you know, this truth about who Jesus is, and your fruit that you produce almost as a tree is joy. Joy is a reaction to you seeing Jesus as the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. That's the only place you really find joy. I wish we could all get that and end our endless search for joy right now that we all have going on, you know, and just, man, that's where it's at. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to me. That's where I find joy. It's the only place. I've looked a million other places. I'm still convinced in my mind, for whatever reason, that all these other things will give me joy, but this is where it's at. And so my definition then of joy is that it's an emotion that is produced in us when the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us. Joy is an emotion produced in us when the Holy Spirit reveals Christ. That's what joy is, and that's what you're called to go get. So, let's put up 5 minutes. Why is joy such a big deal? Let's end with this. And then we'll talk about how to go get joy again next week. So why am I talking about this? Why do I think it's such a huge deal? And I'm going to just say, because joy glorifies your Father. That's number one reason. There's a lot of reasons to be joyful, but number one reason why God wants you to take this so seriously about you being happy is because your happiness glorifies your Father. What's a better compliment to a king? If you're in a kingdom and you picture olden days and there's a king, and we picture bad kings and we picture good kings and what all that's like, what's a better compliment to a king than his people being happy because of him? Isn't that the best compliment that a king could have in a kingdom? I mean, it says nothing about a king when people serve the king because they have to. And it really doesn't say much about a king when they only enjoy what the king can give them. But when the people celebrate because they have a good king, that exalts that king. I mean, that's the kind of kings that were remembered, you know. That was a great king. He loved us. He took care of us. I loved when he was our king. That says so much, and that's the same way with our God. Our joy and our actions and our emotional reactions in this life say so much about what we think about God. And so it's so important you start, you know, we're tapping into the right things so we can properly exalt our king. Here's a cool story, and you don't have to turn to it, but in 1 Kings, there's that Queen of Sheba thing. You guys remember that story? And, I don't even remember all the details of that story, but I know it says this. She came to see Solomon, right? And she came to see all that was going on. And she said the report was, this is 1 Kings 10, 6 through 8, if you want to look at it. But it says, the report was true that I heard in my own land of your word and of your wisdom, but I did not believe the reports until I came and my own eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Your kingdom and prosperity surpassed the report that I heard. Okay, and here's what I want to make the point of. So you guys get what's going on. She travels, this queen travels a great distance to see Solomon, to see what all is going on. She heard so much about him, and she comes to celebrate how great a king he's been. And she could have said anything after that. You're making such a beautiful deal. You know, everyone's so taken care of, whatever. But what she says, happy are your men. Happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. That's what she noticed from a faraway kingdom. She comes all the way to see him, and she takes this huge observation of all this stuff going on, and the first thing she says, happy are your men. Happy are your servants. They love to stand before you and listen to your wisdom. What a great compliment to a king. And that's exactly what your joy should be doing to people who are far off. They should see you, and they should see Sean Humig, and they should say, you know, man, happy are God's men. Because look how happy Sean is. He loves to stand before God. He loves to go to God to get wisdom. He's a servant, and yet he's filled with joy. Happy are you, you know, happy are God's men. That's what people should say when they look at you. Why are you so happy? Have you ever heard that asked to you? I mean, that's what people should be asking. Why are you so happy? And maybe we should wrap up with that. It's such a, I'll end with this little statement. I mean, it's just such,
Levi.
Yep.
Why is it I can't ever come and be quiet?
I don't know.
But I was just reading the Beatitudes again this morning, and I thought how when we walk those out, there's where joy is. So I challenge everybody, read and reread the Beatitudes.
And actually, if you, that, you know, Joe brings it up, that's the blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the, it has all those blessed are the, and actually that word blessed can, is actually a synonymous word to happy. Happy are the, you know, and so that's kind of how blessed can be interpreted. Joy-filled are the poor in spirit because they, and so yeah, that's a good word, and I'll just want to throw this out before you too, just as something to think about. I mean, isn't it, and this is just a thought right now. I don't have any scripture for this, and so take this as Levi's thought. But isn't having a sin nature, which we all just hate so much, isn't it just our great desire that God gave us to be filled with joy, getting unplugged from the author of joy? And so what we do is uncontrollably, because we're made this way, go searching for joy in a million different places. Isn't that what the sin nature is? It's a constant search for joy in all the wrong places because we got unplugged from the one who filled us with joy. And so why do I sin? It's because I'm not finding joy in Christ, and I go looking somewhere else. And why am I depressed sometimes? It's because I tried to find joy in something else already, and it let me down. That's why I'm depressed, right? And because I looked for joy in the wrong place. And why am I bored and confused in life? It's because I don't trust that if I fully turn to God, he's going to give me joy. I don't know where to go with my life. I'm bored. It's because I won't even take the step and give God a chance to give me joy. I don't trust him enough to do it. And so really, all these things that are weighing us down and we're struggling with go back to this search for joy. And so do you see how imperative it is that you take it upon yourself and keep others accountable to fight this fight for joy, and know that if you'll look in the right place, you'll really find it. And so that's my lesson. I consider being happy, being joy-filled, to be one of our supreme calls as a Christian, to be deeply inwardly happy, and then from that deep happiness, expressing it. That's what worship really is, isn't it? You got happiness on the inside, and you express that. That's worship. And so, yeah, it's a huge call. We'll talk more about it next week. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you give us joy. I believe that. I see it in your word. I pray you'd put it in our hearts. You fill us with joy. You give us joy. You're the source of joy. I pray, Lord, that you would end our worthless and vain searches and that you would fill us with joy in your Holy Spirit. I thank you for all you've given us in Christ, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.